Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Bills Radio Network, that was on a 4th-and-2 call. Gutsy, gutsy decision by the Bills, and generally kind of used to them playing things so conservatively in those moments, but they put the offense, they put the game in Josh Allen's hands, and Perloff, that's why he's the MVP front runner this morning. Welcome to the show, yeah. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Yes.
Wait, was that gutsy or is that just total fear of your kicker not being good?
Oh yeah, that too. I mean, kickers around the league, we could have a, you know, do another 4-hour show on top of it. This one just on the state of kicking right now.
Take me to the treadmill on that particular play, 4th-and-2. I know, and I know you well enough. I've known you a long time. There's no way, if they'd sent Tyler Bass the kicker out of there, you would have panicked.
Definitely. But at first, I was like, "Oh, just take the points." But you know what? I'm glad I'm not the coach.
It was a long field goal. No, it was the right call. The analytics said go for 4th-and-2. And Josh Allen, when he runs, is incredibly effective. There's just no way around it. The question is this a Super Bowl formula?
You know, it hasn't been yet, and we'll see. We'll see. And I wish I could say yes with any kind of confidence. I do think it was. Listen, is it going to mean a lot in January? I'm not sure, but I think it's good for the Bills to at least keep themselves in this rivalry, because with all of the close games that the Chiefs have had, and this would have been another come from behind win, right? What was it, 8 of their 9 have been all come from behind wins. They were trailing by 2 points at halftime. It would have been another one of those boogeyman moments, I always say, for the Chiefs, where it's like you feel like you're playing them, you're playing the refs. When you're at Arrowhead, you feel like you're playing the crowd. They just have so many things that go in their favor. And for the Bills to get this win, I thought, you know, listen, it's important for today. Does it matter in January? We've already said this a million times, no. However, with the Ravens losing yesterday to the Steelers, we'll unpack that game in just a minute. And with the Bills putting the end of the streak, I think Josh Allen should be the MVP this year. The only thing is Jared Goff. I mean, the Lions are such a buzzsaw right now. And I know he threw 5 picks last weekend, but Goff obviously has to be in consideration too, right?
Well, yeah. And let's not forget Lamar Jackson too. But so the Bills and the Lions go head-to-head on December 15th, kind of like Lamar Jackson and Brock Purdy went head-to-head last year. And if you remember how that game went, that Ravens was a decisive answer.
Yep.
I think there's a little bit more to be determined here. I also think if Lamar gets super hot at the end of the year, which, I mean, the Steelers are his kryptonite. That's very clear. Yep. They lost 18-16 yesterday. They've lost that game the same exact way every time Lamar is on the field. So maybe he gets hot. It's really interesting to me. Let's forget about like what it means. Like, what about home field now?
Yeah.
That's a huge deal. Because I think the Chiefs are not playing like a team who is going to stay strong. I mean, they probably have 2, 3, or 4 losses on the schedule.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe this starts a little bit of the floodgates opening up, where the luck starts to go a different way.
Or are they even trying to win these games? I mean, I think that's a legit question. Are they putting out, are they going to sell out to win a lot of these games? I think maybe they're kind of being conservative.
Well, I mean, I don't think the defense, they've been the secret sauce to this whole thing, and the Bills have been the first team to score 30 on them going back to last season. So I don't think the defense was holding anything back. I think the defense is there. This might just be the Chiefs' offense until they hit their second gear, which is most likely going to happen around late December.
Yeah, well, Mahomes will start scrambling more. Travis Kelce will start being more involved in the offense. Pacheco will come back. So I'm very curious about who the Chiefs are. Right now, they just seem very, very non-explosive. I think you and I see them differently because you've been burned by them so many times.
So many times.
So I actually, and I'm going to be the fool who says, you know what? I just don't think they have enough weapons, and then they'll find them in January. But you look at them now, they are really not scary on offense at all.
But they are kind of scary, though, even in the same, like, they are, though, because they've found ways to win. And you know that they're not going to get blown out. So every game's going to be tight.
And that, finding ways to win doesn't scare me. Being losing 52-6 to the Detroit Lions and having no idea who to cover, that scares me. They're just, it has to be a miracle throw by Patrick Mahomes to some guy who's all pretty well covered. There's just no margin for error with the way the Chiefs play right now.
Yeah, well, this might not be the best version of them. I mean, I think that's not a hot take. Yep. This is probably not the best version of them, but the defense has been the best version.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, you're right.
You know, and I always think there's that thing there with Mahomes. You know, watching the game last night, it really just reiterated to me, it is so important for the Bills to get home field. And I know last year they lost to the Chiefs when they had home field. You need another bite at the apple of them at your place, because there were already two major calls. One was a missed face mask on a drive at the end of the half that should have, the Bills ended up scoring on that drive anyway, but they should have given them 15 yards. Blatantly missed, blatantly not called. And then inside of 2 minutes, when the Bills can't even challenge, it was a pass that was not caught by Watson that they never looked at again. And I think when you're in Kansas City, it's just the way that referees are, Perloff, you're just going to end up getting another call or two. And I'm not even saying that, you know, the borderline ones are going to go for the home team. And I think that's, we know this about refereeing. We know this about human nature of the refs. You're never going to get that out of the game. And I think for that reason, the Bills need this game in Buffalo if it's going to happen again in January.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost a few in Buffalo. In
they've
the
lost every which way you can lose to the Chiefs.
Yeah, they lost to the Bengals in Buffalo.
They did. They got smoked by the Bengals in Buffalo. Yeah.
Again, honestly, like, you have to beat this Chiefs team twice. It's very challenging.
You got to beat the Chiefs. You got to beat the refs. You got to beat the fans. You got to beat every part of it.
Yeah.
Every part of it.
Yeah. You're right. So I do think it is important to get home field, but even that does not guarantee anything. You're going to be in a real close game. This is going to come down. Once again, Maggie, they are going to test your resolve come January, and you know it, even though they look great.
Well, here's the problem. Yeah. Here's the other part, too. There is a reality here of, we're talking about, you know, are we guaranteed to get a Chiefs-Bills rematch because we're not sure about the Chiefs? I'm not so sure about the Bills. Look at some of the teams you're playing in the bottom of the AFC playoffs. Anyone want to play the Denver Broncos right now?
Yes.
Anyone want to play the Chargers?
No.
Anyone want to play the Houston Texans?
Yes. Oh, my God. Definitely.
Texans already beat the Bills. The Ravens smoked the Bills.
That's an earlier version.
You want to play the Steelers right now? No,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Of course I want to play the Steelers and the Texans and the Broncos. Very much so.
These are teams that are winning games. I know the Broncos, when they just swept the NFC South, which was a team that Sean Payton, when he was the coach of the Saints, used to destroy. So I get that. There was a little institutional knowledge of those teams. But still, these are you know, teams that are winning games and winning them soundly. Maybe the Chargers last night was
the Chargers might scare you.
But
really, what are you seeing in the Houston Texans? That
they already
scared?
Beat the Bills once.
No, I know, but like the team that you see right now, that plays tonight, they are non-threatening.
Watch what they do to Dallas tonight.
I don't know. I mean, are the Texans, I guess Nico Collins is playing, it's a different thing. Are they weren't they fully healthy kind of when they played the Bills? That team is a distant memory in Houston. They lost to the Jets, Maggie.
I get that.
So
they were
not
favored in that game. Everyone knew that they were going to lose that game except for you and me.
I know.
So I don't know.
I know. I just feel like it does feel to me that there's the Bills, there's the Chiefs, there's the Ravens, and then the Chargers and Steelers are just a touch below, and then the rest of it doesn't scare me. And even the Steelers and the Chargers don't really scare me yet. The Chargers is starting to scare me a little bit, because if Justin Herbert's going to run like crazy like he has been, and he doesn't get hurt, then they could be really good.
855-212-4227. Vulnerable Chiefs team. Are you taking anything away from the Bills beating the Chiefs and stopping their streak at 9-0? Did you see Larry Zonka was popping champagne?
Oh, yeah. Murky Moore sadly passed. I was just, maybe that was a couple years ago, but, you know, have you ever done the interview with the 72 Dolphins?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. I sat with Murky Morris and Jim Kick, and I will give them full credit. Nobody has ever embraced a win except the 85 Bears and the 72 Dolphins. I mean, it's been 50 years of living off this season.
They were all-time seasons.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the Dolphins haven't done much in the last 40 years.
Dolphins won yesterday, and listen, you beat the Raiders at home. They're not throwing you a parade. I get that.
Yeah.
But they have looked better over the last
two
games.
Out of here.
They have.
Is there an AFC team that you are not scared of? I mean, is there one team? Well, the Browns and the Jags. Do you think you or would you be confident headed into Jacksonville? What point, Maggie? You are like Lou Holtz. You are just praising your other opponents. Like, oh, I don't want to see those Denver Broncos. If the Bills can't beat Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos, then you might as well just fold the franchise.
Wait a minute. Bo Nix had 300 yards yesterday.
Oh, my God. You were so scared of the other opponents. Like, you got to focus on the Chiefs and the Ravens. Do not talk about the Broncos. Do not worry about the Houston Texans. You're fine.
That's the moment.
You have no confidence in your own team.
Perloff, would you? Would you?
I'm an Eagles fan and no.
855-212-4227. Leland is in Sacramento. The 49ers are at 500, 5-5. They lose to the Seahawks at home yesterday. Last second, Geno Smith rushing touchdown. Leland, state of the franchise is what?
I think there's a lot of uncertainty in San Francisco right now. I think Kyle Shanahan is scrambling for answers, and I think this year the stage is too big for him. And I think that's where a lot of the speculation goes. It seems like they can't scheme their receivers open. It seems like they can't get a running game going, even though Christian McCaffrey's back, and it's disappointing. And as a fan of football, I'm just going to have to look at other teams in the area, maybe the Chargers, watch some of their games, the Rams, watch some of their games. And even, you know, I took a trip to Arizona a couple months ago. I'm even going to have to start watching some, you know, Cardinals games to get my football fix. I'm not getting it with the Niners right now.
Leland, I get being upset, but this is a team that's taking you to the playoffs and the Super Bowl. I mean, you're going to jump off the bandwagon now at 5-5.
I'm not giving up on them. It's just that I'm going to have to watch other teams to get that. I think the feeling as a fan when you see your team win, I'm going to have to expand my orbit a little bit and not be so focused on the 49ers. I'm going to watch other teams and be a bigger fan of the NFL. So like you and Perloff, one of the reasons I listen to this show is you guys talk so much about the NFL as a whole. Mm. And I'm not saying I'm giving up on the 49ers, Perloff, but you guys do. You really bring in you bring in the whole NFL experience. For a fan like me on the West Coast, you bring it all together. And I'm just going to expand my border and vision a little bit. Not giving up.
I'll tell you what you're doing, Leland. Thank you for the call. This is what they call the Andrew Perloff. It's a shorthand.
Yeah, you need a safety bandwagon. You can't just be stuck with only your team to root for, especially when Kittle's on the sideline and Nick Bosa gets hurt. You better start looking at, kind of like that Cardinals offense. Drew Petsick, hot coaching candidate. I totally get Leland.
This violates all rules of
fame. Leland, I see you and I feel you, and this is good work by you. Beast, come on. What are you going to do? If Kittle and Bosa aren't going to play, I mean, what are you going to? And Debo's done. He's out after this year. I totally get what Leland's doing.
Imagine having a team go to the conference championship game, what, 5 of the last 7 years or whatever? Super Bowl 2.
And then rooting for the Cardinals?
And say, I'm going to find another team.
And it's the Cardinals.
The Rams.
I haven't been happy in a decade on a Sunday. Come on, Leland.
No, I get it. I get it.
He's a Giants fan. He would give his right finger for that. Maybe not the whole arm.
No, losing Super Bowls suck, but like, I mean, and Maggie would know, unfortunately. But but still, man, like your team is going, just was just in the Super Bowl.
You know what?
Classic. My team hasn't made the playoffs in 15 years.
I know. But you know what? You get used to a certain lifestyle, guys. It's like being in a high-profile divorce. You know? You get accustomed to a certain lifestyle. And when all of a sudden, you know, you can't drive the G-Wagon anymore and you got to drive a Honda like the rest of us, well, suddenly it doesn't feel so great. Now, does it?
That was super relatable.
Well, actually, I think what Leland was doing was really smart. He's in California, so he can root for all the California teams. You guys are in New York. You should start rooting for the Bills, the only real New York State team.
Nope, bandwagon closed.
No.
Not allowed.
I'm a Jets fan. I'm not rooting for an AFC East team.
I mean, honestly, EJ, Leland, maybe that is not cool to jump off the Niners bandwagon, but how do you stay on that Jets bandwagon?
Leland should do what I did. Just, okay, your season is in the toilet. Just emotionally detach yourself from the season. It's not happening this year.
There'll be
plenty of other seasons.
Go numb.
Yes, that's exactly what the people on the side of the glass have been doing for the best decade and a half.
What are you guys, Pink Floyd? You're comfortably numb? It doesn't work like that. It's sports. It gets something going inside of you, whether it's good or bad. That's why we're all here.
Oh, it's worked wonders for me this year. This has actually been the most, I can't believe I'm actually getting through this season. If this was last year, I would be just a mess. But fortunately, I said, you know what? I'm not going to put myself in a situation for being emotionally attached to this team. So Aaron Rodgers gets on the mic, walks to 50-yard line of MetLife Stadium and says, I'm sorry for what happened. I apologize, and I retire as Jets of quarterback.
Why doesn't he just resign as QB of the NYJ?
I'll take that, too.
Style.
Nice I'll take done. That, too. But you know what? The pain he's suffered and the pain he's given to all Jet fans, he should have to actually get on a mic and explain what has happened.
I haven't watched the Giants in 8 days. This is the happiest I've been in my life.
You're in an extremely good mood.
Giants fans, they are really checked out. I mean, they are crazy checked out. I haven't heard Giants fans even talking about the team.
I've been checked out since about 2019.
EJ, Aaron Rodgers is going to torch you next year. He's going to be on another team, and he's going to throw 35 touchdowns. You know why I know that? Because of Brett Favre. The
no
two
chance.
People, they are on the same exact trajectory, point by point by point. What is making you think he's going to be a year off the Achilles? He is going to be good next year, and it will not be in a Jets uniform, and I'm going to laugh.
Nope, not happening. Sorry.
No one's getting that lucky. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be in a Jets uniform next year. 855-212-4227. George is our pal in L.A. Got to be feeling good after a big Rams win over the Pats, George.
Yeah, that was a nice win. We got three teams, NFC West, all 5-5, and we can play Perloff's team next Sunday night, Philadelphia Eagles. That should be an interesting game.
It's a big game, too.
Dude, how about that catch by Puka Nacua? Oh, my God. That was amazing.
Yeah, you know, listen, it was good to see them scoring some touchdowns yesterday after what happened against the Miami Dolphins last week where they could not find the end zone. I mean, maybe using the Patriots as a bit of a get-right game. You know,
that was a great game, actually. I watched a ton of that because Drake May is kind of fascinating. That was a really, really interesting. Well, I think the Patriots are a little better than we think.
No, they definitely are. You know, to make this about the Rams, though, quickly, I think the Rams as good a shot as any in that NFC West. You just talked about it, Perloff, and George, thank you. You know, Arizona Cardinals in first place in this division. You know, Rams now have won, what, 3 of 4 after starting the season 1-4? And
yeah, but
the 49ers are down.
Well, the thing is that the Rams have won, but they've been close games. You know, they don't seem to be able to put any distance between them and anyone. I actually, you know what? I might pick the Cardinals in that division. Because of James Conner, he's unstoppable.
You know what's weird about the Rams? They do, like yesterday, they don't score in the first quarter and they don't score in the fourth quarter. So that's second and third quarter, but is that like winning football? Anyway, and on the Patriots side of things, I think they are a little bit better than we expected. Drake May is obviously giving them something to rally around. He is going to be very good. But they are so conservative. And this is Gerard Mayo, man. He is a defensive coach. You kick a field goal on 4th and 3 from the LA 13. You have a 4th and goal from the 2, you kick a field goal. I mean, woof. They're going to have to start trusting Drake May a little bit more. I get he's a rookie, but for this thing to work moving forward, you've got to trust him a little bit more.
But wins and losses really don't mean anything to them right now.
Then get him some experience in these like high-pressure, short yardage situations.
Yeah, I don't really see the Patriots the same way. First of all, the Patriots really should not have won that game last night. I thought the Rams kind of controlled it a little bit.
Well, the Rams did win.
Yeah, no, I'm saying like I don't think like Mayo blew the game necessarily. Like they fought hard. Wins and losses do not matter. You're exactly right. Drake May's development is the only issue there. So we'll see with the Rams Eagles. By the way, I think I'm starting to, unlike you, be confident in my team. Actually, like you, I look at that match. I'm like, oh well, they got two great receivers in Nacua and Kupp, but the Eagles have all these cornerbacks. I'm not sure the Rams get out of the West. They're just like, they're winning, but they're thin games, Maggie.
855-212-4227. All right, we're trying to hit everything from yesterday, from Saturday. Got a big Georgia win on Saturday. Oregon escapes. We know we're on in all of these places. We have not forgot about college football. You had the big Tyson Paul fight on Friday night, and you had John Jones coming away with a big win in the octagon against Stipe Miocic. So lots happening over the weekend. Coming up next, I will give you the top 5 most memorable moments from the Tyson Paul fight.
All right.
Again, I'm still stuck on only 5.
They were silly. It was a silly evening. Entertaining-ish. Maggie and Perla.
All right, listen up. 1 in 8 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and bladder leaks can be a side effect. That's why Depend is teaming up with the Prostate Cancer Foundation to encourage screening. Because health is a long game, and it's yours to win. Now, here's the cool part. Through November, Depend is contributing up to $300,000 to prostate cancer research by donating 40 cents for every purchase of shields, guards, and RealFit products. Void in Mississippi. Learn more at Depend.com. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. Is this for the Tyson fight? Or Manny just feeling it? So, I don't know if we should talk...
For all the winners from yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know, Maggie, if we should talk about the Mike Tyson fight. Did anyone watch this thing?
Just kidding. Out, 60 million people practically crashed the site.
I thought it was 50 million. Like, that's like Super Bowl numbers. This is crazy. I mean, I didn't even know that many people had Netflix. That is wild. And I think... If you didn't watch it live, it's so easy to go back. I went back and watched it. I didn't stay, I'll be honest, I didn't stay up. Because everyone's at 8 p.m. Eastern for the fight. And then I was like, wait, what time is the real fight starting?
Midnight. Yeah.
So I watched it on replay the next day.
Yeah.
But Maggie, you had some interesting observations about the fight.
Yeah, if you didn't watch it, I got your top 5 most memorable moments from the fight. And it starts right now. All right. Number 5 in the most memorable moments. Now, these are not the best. These are not the greatest. I'm talking about most memorable moments.
You're getting to 5 greatest.
No, there's no 5 greatest.
There's 5 anything.
Hey, folks. Number 5, what was the Axe body spray stuff that they kept spraying all over Jake Paul? They did it when he did his ring entrance, which was in a car, down this ramp in Jerry World. And then they did it as soon as the decision was announced. They made sure to just spray him with some kind of body spray.
His brother was doing it, and he knocked his hat off during the post-game, the post-match thing.
Silly. The whole thing just so silly. Number 4 on my list of most memorable moments from this fight, it was a Charlize Theron, Jamie Foxx movie preview where they basically they're married, they're two spies who rediscover their love of espionage and their kids find out.
Oh my God, that movie, there's 7 other versions of that movie out right now. Did Mark Wahlberg just do that movie?
Mark Wahlberg did it. It was like Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but with kids. Like they just basically took 5 different ideas, jumbled it into one movie, and Charlize Theron looked like she would have rather been putting her hand in a garbage disposal than be sitting front row at that thing. Okay. Number 3 of my most memorable moments of the Tyson Paul fight. Rosie Perez is a boxing commentator, just punching through that glass ceiling. She had one of the memorable lines from the fight, which is questioning why Jake Paul wasn't really trying to finish Mike Tyson, which will launch 1,000 conspiracy theories about what actually happened during this thing. Rosie, she wasn't awesome. She was memorable, though, as a commentator on this fight. And the whole thing was just way over the top. Not Rosie. The play-by-play was way over the top. And Roy Jones, who's actually called a million fights, really needs to be paired with Jim Lampley. It's Lampley or bust.
Oh, no. Morrow was good on the play-by-play.
Nope.
He was at a 15 when the fight only needed a 10.
He was giving his best.
Oh, it sounded like a WWE event. And that's where he came from, right?
He did boxing too, but he did WWE for a short time.
Right, and I know that because he was basically giving us his resume while the fight was going on, which is an odd choice for play-by-play. But it felt big. Number 2, the most memorable moments of the Tyson-Jake Paul fight was the cut over Amanda Serrano's eye that a friend texted and said, well, everything's bigger in Texas. You think? If this is a quote-unquote normal fight and not a crazy circus of an evening, that fight is stopped 10 out of 10 times when a fighter has a cut that big over their eye. The fact they let her continue, it became a fight of the year candidate. I don't think she got so robbed from Katie Taylor. It was back and forth. I agree with Andre Ward on this one. It was back and forth. Her eye being cut in that way, though, was gruesome. And the number 1 most memorable moment from the Jake Paul-Mike Tyson fight is the fact that we all got treated to seeing Mike Tyson's bare tush before the fight because of a locker room shot where Tyson's getting interviewed by his son. They have this sort of nice moment and he gives him a kiss. He says, I love you. And then you see Mike walk away and it's just, he's in the jock strap and you just get his bare cheeks.
And they're 58 years old.
And someone asked me, they didn't see it. So they said, so what was his tush like? And I said, well, if you put all the tushies in the world next to each other, it's not bad. If you put all the athletes' tushies in the world next to each other, not that great. And just the fact that we got Mike Tyson's butt, just we should have never seen that.
Yeah. Legacy doesn't mean nothing.
Yeah. And that was the internet moment, Mike Tyson's tush.
Can I ask for the woman's perspective? Do you find yourself wanting tush shots or tush shots good?
God, we got Derrick Henry earlier this year. That was fun.
Well, that was during the game.
Yeah.
That was inadvertent. This one felt like it could have been avoided.
Oh, okay. But not on purpose.
No, it wasn't on purpose, but it's just, you know, if you're the cameraman.
Don't zoom in.
No, but you're in the locker room. So, you know, there's a rule when you're in the locker room. Eyes up. Camera up.
Camera up.
And he walks over to the interview. What do you think he's wearing?
That's on the TD. I'm not putting that on the cameraman.
The technical director.
Yeah. He can't. What is he going to do? Just put the camera up to the ceiling as soon as Tyson walks away?
How about a tighter shot on his face? I don't know. It's everyone. It's the TD. It's the camera. We got Mike Tyson's butt.
At least it wasn't frontal.
Fair.
Can I ask a question?
Way to come in through with the silver lining.
The one thing you mentioned, Rosie Perez, and conspiracy theories. Does this fight even raise the level of conspiracy theory? I mean, definitely. I know you're a fan. Why would you even bother doing it? I mean, conspiracy theory means like something that is hidden that appears one way is not another. Like, I don't even know if this fight being possibly fixed is like, of course it's a conspiracy. It's Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. It's not like Ali Liston. Like, like, wait, you're going to have like your A investigative team? Like maybe something fishy was going on here? Like that's Jeremy a waste Schaff. Of energy. Yes. Yeah, I don't know if you're sending Jeremy in Schaff Don Van Natta to break down this fight.
Wait, we don't get an E60 exclusive on this one? Like, all right.
Conspiracy implies, right, that it's at least trying to be normal. And this says this fight was kind of bizarre. Was it more entertainment or was it more sporting in a sense? It felt more like entertainment.
Yeah.
It was neither.
Well, no, attempted.
When the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders came out, what did you think?
I see a little bit differently than I think you do, Bogus. Like, Jake Paul, I know that the gloves were a little bigger or whatever. He took some real punches from Mike Tyson. Like, I give that guy a little bit of credit. Like, I think if Mike Tyson even, like, looked at me the wrong way, I would be out for the count. But he did take a punch from Mike Tyson. It looked like some real punches. At least some.
Did he land Tyson 18 total? I mean, not that I would survive any of the 18, but I'm also not Jake Paul. Like, he's supposed to be able to take a punch from a 58. I don't care. I understand it's Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But it's 58-year-old Mike Tyson, and he looked like he was 108 in the ring on Saturday.
But he still has a big arms.
Sucked.
He still has a George Foreman big arms. Like, I don't know.
No, it made me feel so gross watching it.
I didn't feel gross watching it. I felt like it was bizarre. It was just bizarre. There should have been way more action, but Tyson's legs left him in, like, the third round. But
I mean,
Paul looked huge, by the way, too. They said he put on, what, like 25 pounds for that fight?
They definitely didn't steroid check in this fight.
Whoa.
Asada was nowhere to be found.
EJ.
Some big allegations
there, buddy. We don't throw out allegations like that on this show.
Except for Perloff.
Yeah. Only in baseball.
No, I try to keep those off air.
Only when he's watching every baseball player. No, It was just odd. It was just odd, but you know what? If you just looked at it as kind of a circus, it delivered on that. And to be honest, the Amanda Serrano, Katie Taylor, that should be a pay-per-view. That should be a trilogy. Those two ladies should fight again, and I bet a lot of people would watch.
I don't know if this delivered on even entertainment. This was boring. I mean, thank goodness I was at the Knick game and caught the last three rounds and didn't have to watch all eight rounds of this nonsense. I found this extremely boring, and I started to wonder, like, is this kind of the end of the Jake Paul train? Like, is the con over? Because so many people were so angry at this. Like, I didn't get the, this is fun. People were upset at Netflix. People were upset at the fight. People were upset at Tyson for not being better, even though he's 58 years old. I don't know what you expected. People were upset at Jake Paul for not, like, actually just knocking out Mike Tyson when clearly he could have. Like, I don't think anybody left this happy.
No, but I don't think it means that Jake Paul's con is over. In fact, I think he gains more credibility. The Tyson part of this, I think, is interesting because I think there were a lot of maybe dads or, you know, wanted to show their sons like, hey, this is the guy who was the baddest man on the planet. And I don't know if the sons would have picked up on that. If the next generation, they couldn't have known. Like, you wouldn't have gotten the Mike Tyson experience from that.
It does speak to Mike Tyson's mystique that, like, there was even a thought that he could turn back the clock and knock this guy out.
And we saw his butt and the mystique was gone. Bogish has headlines
for us. My Netflix is still buffering, actually.
Bogish has headlines for us. What happened in football?
I don't know. These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season's here, and Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code M&P, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
I like a tight ass.
Reports overnight seem to confirm that Bills Mafia behaved themselves on their treadmills yesterday.
Can he do it? Is he gonna do it? Yeah, finally,
Josh Allen did it yesterday, throwing one touchdown and running for the clincher on fourth down with just over 2 minutes to go. The Bills a 30-21 win over the Chiefs in Buffalo, extending their win streak to six and ending KC's perfect season. Patrick Mahomes will not lose sleep over a November loss.
Nothing to hang your head out, head on. I'm losing to them, but we feel like we can play better. So we'll get back to work and try to use this as a spark so that we can be a better football team in the end. And the undefeated thing was cool, but that's not our ultimate goal. So we'll keep building towards that.
Mahomes picked off twice yesterday, the second ending the Chiefs' chances following that Allen TD run. So, again, it was loss number one for the Chiefs, loss number seven for the Bengals last night.
Hand off to Dobbins. And there goes Dobbins on his horse to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers.
That is Matt Money Smith on Chargers Radio. Dobbins' 29-yard run with 18 seconds left got the Chargers a 34-27 win on Sunday Night Football. After the Bengals erased completely a 27-6 third quarter hole, Joe Burrow 356 yards and three scores, but his team is 4-7.
We are where we're at. I'm not happy with where we're at. I don't think anybody is, but all you can do is come back tomorrow and try to get better.
And maybe kill your kicker.
Hey, question.
Yeah, please.
Should J.K. Dobbins have run that in? What do the analytics say? I mean, obviously, I think technically he should have gone down to the one, but then the Bengals guy pushed him in, so I'm not sure he could have gone down at the one anyway.
And he said that he asked the sideline, and the sideline said score. But, I mean...
Yeah, but it was his running back coach. No, I don't know if he got it from the head coach, his running back coach, and he didn't just say score, he cursed and said, bleep and go for it. Like, that might have been just some dude.
And they seem to be overlooking the fact that the Bengals were, like, inches away from a Hail Mary to tie the game. Like, they flirted with disaster by him scoring.
But kickers are so scary right now. I think they were scared of their kicker. But technically, I think he should have gone down. Although, at the end, he's had too much momentum. I don't think he could have if he wanted to.
The Bengals, with this loss, they're two games away from the last wild card spot. They're two teams in between them. The Chargers, meanwhile, are 7-3 for the first time since 2018. The Packers winning in Chicago 2019 because Carl Brooks, good to see you, Carl, blocked a Cairo Santos field goal on the final play of the game. The Rams got a 28-22 win in New England, and the Vikings down the Titans 23-13 in Nashville. Sam Darnold threw for two scores, ran for another. 8-2 Minnesota remains a game behind the Lions in the NFC North. James Harden now number two all-time in threes, passing Ray Allen in the second quarter of the Clippers' 116-105 win over the Jazz.
We love you, James.
The Cavaliers took care of the Hornets 128-114 to become the fourth team ever to start a season 15-0. Before that game, Charlotte guard LaMelo Ball fined $100,000 for using an anti-gay slur during a post-game interview
on Saturday night. The real rankings are tomorrow night, but a good start for Georgia football. They're back in the AP top 10 at number 8 after beating Tennessee Saturday. Oregon, again, the unanimous number 1 on this list. Alex Ovechkin scored 3 times in the Capitals' 5-2 win in Vegas. He now needs just 29 goals to pass Wayne Gretzky for the most all time. And Leafs winger Ryan Reeves suspended 5 games for Saturday's illegal headshot on Edmonton defenseman Darnell Nurse. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thank you. I'm being corrected in the chat. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. When I gave my top 5 most memorable moments of the Tyson-Paul fight, I said Charlize Theron was in that movie trailer of the movie I'm not going to watch with Jamie Foxx. It's Cameron Diaz. My apologies.
Oh, but Charlize Theron was at the fight.
She was front row.
Right.
But the movie trailer was Cameron Diaz.
And Tom Hanks
yes,
in Forrest Gump 3.
That'd be sad. Forrest Gump 5.
You could have easily had that Jamie Foxx, Charlize Theron movie greenlit anywhere in Hollywood.
Well, it's the same movie, just wrong, different actors.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
So sorry about that. And thank you to Pat, who was in the chat to remind me that I was wrong about it. But Charlize Theron was front row looking not nonplussed.
How much did they pay for her to be there?
You know, I didn't recognize a lot of the celebrities there that weren't athletes.
Shaq obviously took up a lot of oxygen. Who is some of the other actors there? I mean, EJ, you might know them. Maybe they were kind of Marvel.
I only saw Trish Stratus and Lita were there. Not Lita, my dog. Lita, the wrestler.
No, because I think that if you were Marvel, you're not showing up to a Netflix event.
Oh,
that's
so
all Disney Plus.
It was all Netflix people. I mean, most Netflix movies are like some like 90s like sitcom show. Is it Christmas and he's going home from and she hasn't been home in 20 years and she meets a guy and looks like it was shot on an iPhone and it gets like 60 million viewers. You guys know what I'm talking about, the Christmas Netflix movies.
I'll be honest, this list of celebrities is kind of Hot Tour Girl was there. I saw her.
Yeah.
Haley Welch.
Unfortunately.
This list is sad, just like the fight.
Who?
There are a lot of like athletes, Rob Gronkowski, Shaq, all those people. But then like the actual actors, like Joe Manganiello.
Love that guy. Big Steelers fan, right?
Yeah. Josh Duhamel, whatever.
Josh Duhamel is the man. Big Vikings fan, actually.
Simu Liu. I like Simu Liu. Tori Kelly, Daddy Yankee. Ralph Macchio.
Oh, yeah, Ralph Macchio and Bill Zabka was there, too.
Y'all really
Netflix
digging these people?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Ralph Macchio for our childhood.
No, I know. I mean, Cedric the Entertainer, I don't know.
He was on set.
It feels very B-list.
Cedric
Besides Charlize, this is very B-list to me.
Tori Kelly is star of Sing. She's a big deal in my house, so I don't know about that.
It's just usually some of the people who are sitting front row at a fight night. Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
Jack Nicholson.
You guys know it's Jake Paul versus a 58-year-old Mike Tyson, right?
Yeah.
We're all aware of this. It's not fight night. It wasn't Ali Frazier.
Squid Game people were here. Mr. Beast was there.
Oh, that's pretty good.
We'll get back to the football in just a moment, including this could have been an all-time bad week for one NFL team. And that's saying something. We'll get to it next. Rough week for the Bears. Welcome back to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Perloff, you remember they fired their offensive coordinator on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Everyone's embattled. Everyone's feeling the pressure in the building, obviously. So what happens? They're just lined up to finally beat their rival, if you can even call it that, beat their rival Green Bay Packers for the first time since 2018. I mean, it's just been utter domination of the Packers over the Bears. They settle for, what was it, a 41 or 42-yard field goal? It gets blocked. Just the Bears can't have nice things. And the irony of the whole part, or maybe not irony, the saddest part of it from the Bears' perspective is that you had Caleb Williams made 3 of the nicest throws that he's probably made all season long on that final drive.
Yeah.
2 to Adunze, and then another one to Keenan Allen. And to just get it blocked, can we listen to what that sounded like, Mandy? Here are the Packers coming up with the game-winning block on Cairo Santos.
Here's the snap. Placement made. The kick is blocked.
Blocked.
It is blocked.
Blocked.
It is blocked. And the Packers have won.
Beautiful.
It is blocked. Beautiful. It comes up short. And the Packers have won 11 straight over the Bears. 20-19.
Okay.
Wayne Larrabee, Packers Radio.
This feels bad. It feels tough. But I do think there has to be a little relief.
From who?
The Bears fans like, oh, phew, Caleb Williams isn't awful. That is, he looked really good, especially in that fourth quarter drive you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because it was looking bad the last three. I don't know how many games he'd been bad in a row, but this was a very encouraging sign from him because there was a thought, oh my God, wait, is this guy going to be a bust? I think he walked away from that game feeling like, okay, yeah, we blew the game, but we have a guy.
I never thought he was going to be a bust, but you were reminded a little bit yesterday of still some of the magic that he has when he's able to scramble around and make plays with his legs, which I don't think they wanted to do with their last coordinator.
I mean, because they also don't really want him to get hurt. I mean, he ran 9 times yesterday. He does not look like a quarterback who's going to successfully run 9 times.
No, but they're going to need him to pick up first downs with his legs. Like, that's just the bottom line of it. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know what I came away, because this was not also an amazing game for the Packers. 2 turnovers in the red zone, which, you know, or else they really could have put this thing away. Jordan Love clearly still compromised. I want both of these offenses to be a lot better. That's kind of what I came away with. I want the Packers offense to be better. It feels like it should be better, you know?
Yeah, but the Packers, I'll say something positive about them. They're 7-3 and playing like crap. That's a good thing. Remember they turned it on last year? They were terrible the first half of last season. Yep. Then they turned it on. It feels like there's a switch somewhere that they're still looking for that can be turned on. I mean, at least I think, like, honestly, I would not discount the Packers as not being a factor in this playoff.
I just want them to be playing better than they are, just on offense. The defense was playing very well. It's just there's a little something, like, that's just missing, and maybe it's because Jordan Love is obviously dealing with the knee issue going back to that game in Brazil, but then the groin issue as well. Yeah, EJ, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I just feel like when I watch the Packers, this does not look like a team that looks scary to the Lions, right? Like, the Lions are going in and they're just punching people in the face and walking out. And they could throw 5 interceptions and still beat playoff caliber teams. It feels like the Packers are struggling against even, like, marginal teams, like the Bears, the Jaguars. They struggled with the Texans, even though the Texans had, like, 90 yards of passing. Like, it's something's off, clearly. And the hope is that because we still have, like, a month plus to go, that maybe they'll peak at the right time.
Yeah.
But they don't look close to the team that's going to be capable of trying to beat the Lions and get to the championships, the Super Bowl.
I mean, to be honest, though, besides Perloff's Eagles, does anyone look like they could hang with the Lions right now?
Yeah, I totally know what you guys are saying. Remember, so they played earlier. It was bad weather, and they contained the Lions in that game. I think that there's a chance that things change in the playoffs. Remember, there's a whole... How many games are left? There's a whole half season left ahead of us. And just like last year, like, teams evolve come January. So
yeah, but
that's,
if Jordan Love is compromised, depending, you know, on how these injuries, like, this was them coming off the bye week. You would think this is, you know, him rested, definitely, maybe feeling a little bit better, but he's not running, and you can tell why.
Yeah, but maybe in 8 weeks he will be.
Possible.
This was a Bears team, remember, that got smoked by the Patriots. And essentially, it was all hell breaking loose. Some players went Caleb Williams benched. The coach is extremely embattled. And maybe this is their kind of last stand effort, and maybe we should give them credit for that. But you would think a team like the Packers, who we expect to be a Super Bowl contender, you'd think they'd walk in there, beat them by 15 points, and just move on and put them to bed. Like, the fact that we're going here saying, hey, you know what, that Caleb Williams wasn't so bad. Like, I think that's somewhat of a thing for the Packers. You say, we still are not quite there yet.
I think Maggie Dale, though, if Caleb Williams doesn't run like crazy, though, none of that's happening. I mean, he was keeping him in the game with his legs. So
that has to be their offense, I think.
But that's not, like, that's something that you can't plan for a mobile quarterback. There's just nothing you can really do about that. That's my opinion. Like, honestly, Caleb just, like, kind of sold out for that game.
Can I make this about me for a second? All-time bad beat. All time. Oh,
what do you mean?
I had the Bears Packers over 40 and a half. It's stuck at 39 after the Packers score. They go for 2, don't get it, and then the field goal gets blocked.
That's awful.
There's nobody
just a brutal one for your girl.
No one gets the 2 point. You couldn't have counted on that.
No one gets a 2 point conversion anymore. Those don't exist. It's like kickers no longer can kick 50 yarders. That was early in the season, not anymore. And nobody can convert a 2 point conversion.
I don't know if kickers can kick 30 yarders anymore. There is a panic setting around the league.
Extra points are really giving people trouble.
Maybe that's what's screwing it up. There's something wrong with kickers. We got to get to the bottom of it. I have some conspiracy theories.
Better conspiracy than the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight?
Say, can you share them with the class? Well, can you share them with the kickers?
Justin Tucker is the hive mind, and if once he falters, he controls every other kicker. It's sci-fi. I'm developing the script.
We'll get to Justin Tucker, the Ravens, the Steelers. We'll do that next.